The visions of the angels around the throne room crying, "Holy, holy, holy," I think indicate for us that God is one and the same. Sometimes we think of the Old Testament God as this warring, angry God, and the New Testament one, because of Jesus, the God of love. But when you put the holy, holy, holy passages together from Isaiah and Revelation, you see a unified picture of our majestic, awesome God who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if that was all true of God, what does it mean for us? Well, "Take my life," hymn suggests we are to give our whole selves over to God. There are 15 things that Frances prayed about in her musical poem. "Take my life, moments, days, hands, feet, voice, lips, silver and gold, intellect, might, will, heart, love, and take my whole self." Are we giving our whole selves over to holiness? What areas in our lives does Jesus need to step in and say, "No, that's not how I've called you to live"? What areas of life here at CBC as the Ecclesia need to be transformed into His holiness? And our text for today, are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God? These are important questions for the church today. How is CBC being transformed? How is this particular Ecclesia being holy? In what ways do you, as a church community, dedicate your service and your worship here? What does it even mean today to be transformed? Well, Holy Scripture teaches us that first, to be transformed, we have to have an encounter with the living Christ. And then upon accepting Jesus as our King, Savior, and friend, as our brother, the encounter becomes an ongoing conversation, causing us to become a disciple of Christ, which in turn calls us out of the profane aspects of life into His life, a life of holiness. You see, God is holy so utterly that He is completely different and distinct from all of creation. And we as His people must then be distinct and separate from the world's attitudes and actions, which characterize the world as unbelievers. Now, this transformation, this encounter into conversation, is very much like the caterpillar and the butterfly that we were talking to the kids about. The Greek word for transformation is metamorpho, which means to change into another form completely. We would say metamorphosis in English. And that word in the New Testament is used twice. Once with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And also to describe what happens to the Christian in their service and walk with God. A metamorphosis is taking place. In our text, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the idea is that Paul is commanding us that we too are to undergo this complete change under the power and will of God. And in that, we will find a holy expression of our character and our conduct. I'll say that again. The idea that Paul is communicating to us and commanding us is that we are to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in our character and our conduct. So what areas of your life need changing? What areas of my life do I still need to completely submit to God's power? Perhaps this morning you have realized that you've been drinking alcohol too much. Perhaps you've looked at some porn. Maybe it's a food addiction. Are you someone who's struggling with truth and you tell lies easily? Perhaps you have what you think are innocent agendas, even good agendas for this church. But do they line up with Christ's agendas? How many of you have watched Game of Thrones? You can tell the truth. Nobody. One? Okay. So I'm going to talk to Chris. I watched it.
Watched it.
I was disgusted by it. And then I realized I watched the next episode. And the next episode. And then I watched the next episode. Now, at that point, I was fast-forwarding through all the gratuitous sex and violence, which it's filled with. And I kept asking myself, why am I watching this show? Do not watch it. It is classified in television land as soft porn. We now have a category on television at 8 p.m. It's called soft porn. And I was really convicted that it's not good enough, Pamela, to just fast forward through all the full frontal nudity. Don't have this in your home. That was the conviction for me. What sin in our life is stopping us from becoming butterflies? It is only when we give to God all of us, even our secret sins, where we can fully become a new creation. Paul encourages the church of Galatia with these words. The King James Version puts it this way. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The New Living Translation says it this way. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. What are we craving this morning? More of Jesus? Or more of the world? I want Jesus. Say it with me. I want Jesus. Say it one more time. I want Jesus. My deep prayer for CBC as you head into the fall is that you keep seeking Jesus. Because that is the only place you will find truth and life. Now, I understand some of you are reading Neil Anderson's discipleship book. That is great. I have known of Neil's Freedom in Christ ministries for a long time. I subscribe to crosswalk.com, and often his devotions pop up. And I find his material very filling. And so I encourage all of you to read Neil's book as a church family, perhaps, and continue together to seek in Christ the freedom that he offers. When we are free from sin, God's power and grace can then move mightily in and through us. Remember, we cannot change by ourselves. We must submit to God, our whole being, which is why for a church discipling someone to the waters of baptism is so crucial. Think for a moment about your own baptism. Think back to how God had been working in your life. Do you remember what it felt like to know fully that your sins were removed and that the power of being buried with Christ, made alive, forgiven, and the power of the Holy Spirit renewing you completely, and now living a full life in hope of resurrection? We have been washed in his blood, saved by his mercy, and restored into fellowship with him. And we are together teaching each other the gospel given to us by the apostles, breaking bread together, fellowship. fellowshipping in agape service to one another and praying for each other. The Gloria Ecclesia has been raised with Jesus, and we are called to be holy. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Repentance, baptism, and a healthy church life is all about being on the holiness road. And as Paul says, we do this best when we constantly renew our minds. Verse 2, Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If our minds are not being renewed, then I think that our walk with God becomes very superficial. Scripture over and over again says, set our minds on things above. Colossians 3, things of the Spirit, Romans 8, and by living according to the Spirit, Romans 8, 13. Those of you that are visitors, in the last few weeks we've been talking about Acts 2, verse 42, the kind of definition of the church. And for those of you that have heard those sermons, I want to just remind us how natural the rhythm of church is. Sometimes I think we make church so complicated because of our sins, because of our agendas and our wanting our own ways. And the process of holy transformation is really quite simple. Set your mind on things above in order to renew your mind. Be in agape fellowship, eating and drinking together, studying God's word, and praying for each other, discipling each other, striving for holiness, and cooperating with the Holy Spirit through the power of God. Because it's His power, His work, His call, and His doing. And our job is to listen, to follow, to trust, and obey. Remember Philippians 1, God is at work in us. Maybe you're thinking, Pamela, I'm kind of fed up. I'm frustrated this morning. I don't even like some of the people that are here. And I'm just going through the motions. You see, sin is all around my marriage, my job, my kids, my grandkids, my friends. And I don't think I'm strong enough to stop. Or maybe somebody here thinks, oh, I just told a little lie. Not a big lie. Or Pamela, I've lived with this man or woman for so long and they won't change, so I've stopped praying. Well, if that is you this morning, and believe me, I have been there. Some of you know my darling husband. I prayed for 16 years for something in his life. He's a wonderful Christian. He just had a struggle in his life, and I prayed. I was about ready to give up, because he just wasn't changing. And that's when I realized the change had to be me. I had to be more patient. I had to be kind. And that's not easy, because I'm not easily patient, as you know. But if you are here this morning and you're so frustrated you want to give up, here's for you and me. Holiness only results from a right relationship with God. Holiness only results when we are in a right relationship with God. Your relationship, my relationship, matters to God. And it matters to the church. But we have to be concerned about ourselves first. You have to be concerned with your relationship with God, and I have to be concerned with my relationship with God in order for us to interact in a loving agape way. That means we do a lot of forgiving, offer a lot of grace. And primarily, I think, when somebody's at us, recognize that they're probably having a really bad day and it's not about you at all, right? Have you had those moments? You met somebody, maybe here at church, and they went, had to. You find out later on, they have a really stinky day. So holiness results from a right relationship with God. So what is that right relationship? I've already mentioned it. When you and I fully commit to the belief that Jesus of Nazareth is the world's Messiah, we then begin that conversation of transformation. If we have not placed our faith in God's Son alone to save us from our sins, then our pursuit of holiness is in vain. So we must first make sure that we are born again believers. If you don't know what that is, I encourage you to read John 3 and come back and call the deacons this week if you're struggling. We are to first make sure we are born again believers, because if we truly are believers, then we recognize that our position in Christ automatically sets us apart from the world. Because we have a relationship with the living God, everything changes. And we must then daily set apart our life. We are not to try to blend in with the world, but instead live according to God's word as we study the Bible and grow in it. Cultivating a life of holiness does not mean that we must draft a list of do's and don'ts. I was raised in a very conservative Baptist home, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. But there was a list. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't dance. Now, I don't do any of those things still anyway. But we have these lists that we create in each of our families. And one day, I was being really cheeky with my mother, and I yelled, "Well, what is it that we do?" And I got a lecture about being cheeky. It's only now that I realize how profound that question is. And the answer is Jesus. We put our trust and our faith in our risen Savior. We are free from the law, says Paul in 2 Corinthians, the law that kills. And now, in this very second, we are to live according to grace and according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Most of you know this. Live by the Spirit, he says, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious, he says. Fornication, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, envy, drunkenness. And it goes on. He says, I'm warning you. There's a warning to the church. I'm warning you, as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, if you know this, say it with me, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against those things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul is telling us we have the power to say no to sin and temptation. If we live by the Spirit, he goes on, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, or envying one another. This morning, if you are struggling with the works of the flesh, and I believe every one of us in this room struggles in one way or another, myself included, that means there's a holy war within us. And we need to remind ourselves of what Paul says to us in Romans 12. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. There's the key. The mercies of God. What are his mercies? Freedom from sin. Amen? Eternal life. Amen? Peace. Saved from wrath. In and through Jesus, we are new creatures, born again. And that evil and that sin has no place in our lives, and it has no place in the church.
Amen?
How dare we say one unkind word about each other? I should have thought of that this morning when I was yelling at Paul. Sin and evil have no place in our lives. God has shown us mercy, and the same mercy must be extended to one another. I challenged you last week to pick one person in this room, to get to know them for the next year, to pray for them. Did you do it? Did you ask God to lay on your heart someone who needs your care? I did. And this week I sent a little, well, part of an email, and at the end of it I said, I'm glad to know you. And then I sent her a little friend request, because God has just laid on my heart to be friends with this dear one. And I want to continue to know them, even though I leave here today. And that is not to say that I don't want to know the rest of you, but God has laid on my heart an extra specialness. Is that a word, George? Specialness? I don't know. For this lady. And she and I are becoming friends, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the brotherhood and sisterhood that comes out of a church, because that love is eternal. The love we are granted when we seek holiness together is beyond incredible. The love of Jesus in our lives should motivate us, compel us to seek such love together. And the simple prayer of Paul's from Romans 1 last week demonstrated his love for them so much that he prayed ceaselessly for them. With love powered by the Holy Spirit, we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's our goal. Of course, the other alternative is to become like the world. And when that happens, we shame God. We say his grace is cheap, and we deny others the incredible life-giving relationship with Jesus that we have encountered. So let us instead keep moving in faith, allowing the mercies of God and the love of Christ to motivate us to seek godly transformation. The church is called to holiness, to be transformed into the image of Christ. And we have the motivation we need, God's mercies, and God's offer of salvation through Christ his Son. So this morning, right this second, we have the opportunity to start anew. We must allow our minds to be renewed by setting them on things above. And if you doubt for one second, remember God has provided the means, the blood of Jesus, to remove our sin. And he's provided us the tools to help us on the journey. Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and the breaking of bread that he's given to his faithful church. This is a good time to tell you what a pleasure it has been for me serving this summer. I have been blessed, and it has been a tremendous time of joy. Thank you. I am gladder that Pastor Keith is well, and he will be returning next Sunday. My prayer as you enter the fall is that you follow St. Paul's teaching from these two little verses in Romans 12, because that way we will prove to the world that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let us be transformed. Amen? Let's pray together. Holy Father, merciful God, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your forgiveness. We, your church, often fail, but you are right alongside of us, ready with your eternal compassion. Thank you. Thank you for your church and the calling of holiness upon us. Help us to be brave and give us strength as we remove sin from our life. And may you fill us as we walk with each other, not in judgment, but in mercy, building each other up and restoring each other to holy living. And now, my Jesus, I beg you on behalf of the whole church here at CBC that you will grant them love and the light of your Spirit. If there are hardened hearts here, might you bring them to repentance and return to you, O Lord. Let your justice and mercy rule in this community. Give to Pastor Keith an abundance of love and grace for them, these beautiful people. Continue to strengthen his body, his mind, and his spirit, and prepare his heart to return next week, and maintain him in holiness. May the power of your mercy accompany him everywhere and protect him from the devil's traps and snares which are continually being set for the souls of your ministers. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of your servants. Bless him and Annette as they return. And in your power, Holy Spirit, I pray fervently that you sweep down into this group right this moment and remind them of their calling to be the church, baptized, filled with agape love for each other. Give them the longing to eat and drink and pray and laugh and rest and struggle together in consecrated service to you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for your glory. Be glorified in and through them, precious Lord. I ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.